Welcome to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Winn-Dixie Postgame Show is brought to you by Baptist Health, Wachovia, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, and by Community First Credit Union. Now, to get things started, here's Sam Jordan.
Boy, you talk about your ball hogs. The Dolphins just refusing to give the Jaguars any time with the ball today, and then too many times when the Jaguars had it, three and out, and it's a 14-10 loss to the Dolphins today, and now you've got quite the bottleneck at 7-6. The Dolphins at 7-6, Jags 7-6, Ravens winning their game, they go to 7-6, the Jets winning their game, they go to 7-6. Getting complicated here in mid-December, but Marco, talk to me about this Jaguars loss, why the offense couldn't get much going today, especially off all these turnovers.
Completely ineffective in the second half. I mean, the defense did a great job of holding the team in the second half to no points, getting two big turnovers to create opportunities for the offense. They weren't able to get anything going. And I'm telling you, if you look at – I'm going to have to do a little bit more research, but if you look at the games that we've won, Maurice Jones-Drew has had the ball in his hands – as a running back now, not passing the ball, but handed the ball off to him at least 20-plus times in each one of those victories. I'm willing to put the house on it, my man.
This is his fourth straight game under 100 yards rushing. He had 18 carries today, 59 yards, did have the one touchdown. But, yeah, it just seems like they had nothing going, either passing or running the ball. But five fumbles from the Dolphins. Five fumbles, three on the takeaway. You know, Jaguars take away three of them. No points off of that. That's shocking.
The Jags defense, I have to say, they allowed too many completions, allowed the Dolphins to maintain too many drives to take up too much time on the clock. But at the same time, they allowed the Jaguars offense, opportunities by getting the turnovers, and they weren't able to take advantage of them at any chance, at any opportunity here during the course of this game. And that's something that's got to be corrected if they want to go ahead and continue to play into the postseason.
Would you believe that Chad Henne broke a Dan Marino record today? 17 straight completions.
That's unbelievable. I mean,
it's more hard to believe that Marino never had 17.
That's something that's been going on all season long. I mean, yeah. Every team that has played against the Jaguars have been able to complete a high percentage of their passes, and that's something that's got to be corrected. I'm not sure if it's the coverage that's being ran. I don't think you can put so much on the pass rush, because a lot of these passes that are being thrown, that are being completed, are passes that are quick that you probably won't be able to get a pass rush on anyway. So something coverage-wise has got to change in order for them to be more effective against stopping people from being able to continue on drives with these completions.
They got a few sacks today, a couple sacks at least, but the absence of John Henderson probably was definitely noticeable there up the middle, as Ricky Williams was having a pretty big day.
I tell you, the two drives that they went on and scored on were so physical, very dominant. I mean, they completely dominated the defense of the Jaguars, because they just ran straight down the field and, you know, very short passing, but the running by Ricky Williams, they just smash mouth all the way down the field on those two scores. But to the defense's credit, they came back in the second half, and they shut them out. They did what was necessary to give their team an opportunity to win the game, and that will stop them from scoring any more points.
Do you see now the Dolphins as a better team going forward with the next three games? Do you think the Dolphins are more deserving of that spot? Now they've got the head-to-head tiebreaker, but do you think they're a better team?
I don't think they're so much of a better team. They were better today. The Jags, again, the creativity on offense. I mean, you have one of the best running backs in the league. You have to figure out another way to give him the ball. You can't just continue to line up a gang of people in the box. You know, bringing this offensive tackle, and, you know, all that's going to do is automatically bring more people into the box to try to stop Maurice Jones-Drew. That's like telling the whole world, hey, I'm about to give Maurice Jones-Drew the ball. Why not spread everyone out, eliminate people from the box to give Maurice Jones-Drew a chance to either have a one-on-one with one of the defenders, or have a hat on a hat and give an opportunity to be able to make a play.
All right, lots more to talk about over the next couple hours. Right now, let's send it back upstairs to Brian.
All right, Sam, thanks a lot. Jaguars fall 14-10. Jeff Loggeman has Jack Del Rio for the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. And Jack, obviously a big game. And when you look in the second half, you got a defensive shutout in the second half, three takeaways. You just got to find a way to get points in that situation, don't you?
Yeah, no question. Oh, the team fought hard, persevered, found a way, got the ball, several opportunities, take crack at going down there and pulling the game out and winning the game. You're not going to win much in this league with 10 points.
What do you say to a team? I mean, here you go. You drop to 7-6. You still got a chance, right? I mean, that's the message you got to beat home.
Faith in what we're doing. Hope is still alive. We're going to have faith. We're going to have hope. These guys, I love coaching them. It's a great group, and we're gonna keep grinding. And you know, we made it harder. I mean, we know what the deal is. We got to win out, and we're in that situation. We felt like we were in that really back in New York Jet Week. But as I just told them, we don't have a moment, not even a moment, to feel sorry for ourselves. We got Indy coming in here Thursday night on a short week. We've got to get regenerated as quickly as we can, get our attention on the Colts as quick as we can, and move forward and give it everything we have to close the season and give ourselves a chance.
One of the keys this week, obviously, is going to be getting that offense going. How do you get that offense kind of back in their groove that they seem to have early in the year and also at midpoint of the season?
Yeah, you know, I don't have an answer for you right now other than to tell you, you know, clearly it wasn't what we need. We had our opportunities. You know, there are a few things that you know, I look down, I see we have 10 first downs on a day. I mean, that's nowhere close to what you have to have offensively, production-wise. And, you know, again, we're taking a couple sacks there that you can't. I just think where we had opportunities to make plays, we didn't. And it really comes down to execution in these ball games. They're hard-fought. The energy's great. The commitment's great. But, you know, you've got to be able to close the deal and score points.
Two injuries of note in the ballgame. Clint Ingram appeared to have a head injury. Greg Jones, Maurice was tackled in the back of the legs. Looked like both of them weren't minor injuries, certainly.
Clint, I guess, was a shoulder more than a head. I don't have any update on that. And then Greg Jones, I think, got an ankle. And, again, you know, they both were pretty, you know, pretty nasty looking, you know, when you saw him live. I have not heard from the doctor yet, but I know neither one of them returned to action.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Okay, Joe.
That's the Bubba Burgers coaches report. You also heard the Brooks rehabilitation injury report. No definitive word on Greg Jones or on Clint Ingram. We'll have much more to come from the locker room, from Jaguars Central, and from here in the booth as the Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie post-game show. Jack Del Rio just told us how disappointing it was, and Jeff Loggeman is still down in the locker room. He's got David Garrard with him.
All right, David, so certainly one of the most quiet locker rooms I've ever heard. Obviously, you guys are extremely disappointed. But offensively, I'm sure that you guys expect more points, particularly in the second half when you get the takeaways that you had.
Absolutely. You know, D played their butts off, gave us the ball, you know, a bunch of times. And you expect to score off some of those. You know, I'm very disappointed in myself and in my performance and, you know, not helping this offense, you know, be able to move the ball and get down there and score points, you know. So that's tough. I definitely take this one on my shoulders.
It's a crushing loss, but the reality of it is you're still in it. You know, you got three games to go and certainly a big one coming up Thursday night against the Colts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't get to hang our heads very long, actually, you know, and that's probably a good thing. So, yeah, we got to get ready starting tomorrow, you know, getting ready for the Colts because it's another big game for us. And, you know, if we can come out with a win and get on a roll these last few games here, you know, our destiny is right here in our hands, and we just got to go take it.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
That's David Garrard. None of the numbers look good, folks, but we'll give them to you anyway. Sponsored by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Wachovia is with you when you want a little extra help saving. With the Way to Save program, saving money is easy and automatic. Just call, click, or stop by and learn more. You know, the Jaguars couldn't get those Dolphins off the field, and they couldn't stop the run. Over the last five games leading up to today, the Jaguars had only allowed one team, the Jets, to run for more than 100 yards, and had held their opponents to an average of just 68 rushing yards per game. Today, they gave up 146 yards to the Dolphins on the ground. Ricky Williams, 28 carries, 108 yards, and a touchdown, becomes only the second running back, other than Chris Johnson of Tennessee, to run for more than 100 yards against the Jaguars. That really was the story. Of course, Chad Henne today, 21 of 29, 72%. He threw the interception, which dropped his passer rating, but he was very efficient, and all that led to third and short. Third down and three or less so many times, and here's the number that proves it. 8 of 15 on third down. The Dolphins at one point were at 70%. They finished at 53%. Jaguars just couldn't contain the Dolphins enough to get them off the field. And then, of course, it was compounded by David Garrard and the offense's inability to stay on the field. Dolphins ran 71 offensive plays, the Jaguars 54. Dolphins controlled the clock for 35 minutes, the Jaguars for 25 minutes. It was just one of those days. 354 yards of total offense for the Dolphins, 208 from Chad Henne in the passing game, 146 from Ricky Williams in the ground attack. Jaguars only 217 yards of offense, 95 of those came on the ground. David Garrard, 11 of 26, completed just 42% of his passes for 139 yards, finishes with a passer rating of 59.6. And perhaps the most difficult part of today was that the Jaguars defense came up with turnovers, takeaways in the second half, and the Jaguars offense couldn't capitalize on any of them. Jeff Loggemans in the locker room with safety Anthony Smith.
Thank you, Brian. And Anthony, defensively in the first half, things were kind of a little bit of a battle. Miami was controlling the clock, getting a lot of plays. But in the second half, you guys got a second-half shutout and three takeaways. Certainly a big half by the defense.
Yeah, I think we got the best shot early, you know, in the first half. You know, they came out and hit us with some things we didn't really see on film. But, you know, we controlled them pretty well, came out the second half, made some adjustments, and, you know, pretty much held them down.
This is probably one of the quietest locker rooms you'll ever hear. I mean, you had the control. Your destiny was right there. You were controlling it. How do you bounce back? I mean, short week, Thursday night game coming up against Colts.
We just got to win out. You know, we got to take it one game at a time. It's going to be a tough road. You know, we our last two games are away. We got a tough team in Indy coming here on Thursday. So we just got to, you know, stick together and, you know, try to push through, get these last three.
Defensively, you guys have to feel good about where you're moving. I mean, the improvement that you guys have made in the last 5 weeks has been tremendous to where you guys are controlling the games. You got to feel good about that side of the ball.
Yeah, we feel great about that. You know, we're getting better every week. We still haven't played our grades of ball, I don't think. You know, and each and every day we're just working on little things to get better and working on different packages and stuff. So week by week we're getting better.
All right, thank you, Anthony.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Loggy, let's talk a little bit about the Justex player of the game. I'm going to offer to you that it's Gerald Alexander.
He had another tremendous game.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Two fumbles, recovered one.
Yeah, he tremendous game, tremendous player, and a guy that, boy, you like to see guys like that do well because he's a good guy, first and foremost, but a guy that's bouncing back from a serious injury.
Justex MVP receives a Justex watch, the official watch of the Jaguars. Available exclusively at Espling Jewelers in Ponte Vedra, Mandarin, the South Side, and Fruit Cove. And that's, of course, the second straight week that Alexander has been named the Justex MVP. O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game, 18 carries, 59 yards for Maurice. Torrey Holt had two catches for 71. I don't know where to go with that one.
Can you find one? You know, if I'm going to look in one particular area, you know, I'd have to say Eugene Monroe. I mean, I thought he played a pretty solid game, or Evan Britt. I mean, the two rookies played well. I didn't think there was a whole lot of pressure on David Garrard, but I think the offensive line gave him time.
All right, so the O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game is Eugene Monroe, and O'Reilly Auto Parts will be making a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in the name of Eugene Monroe. And obviously the Hooters' drive of the game is down 14-0. They came back there in the second quarter with a long 12-play, 62-yard drive that finished with Maurice Drew's 14th rushing touchdown of the year to tie Fred Taylor.
Yeah, and the big play there was the, 62 or 63-yard completion to Torrey Holt on the double move.
No, that was on the field goal in the third quarter.
Okay.
That was the drive that David kept everything alive with his feet.
I got you. Yeah, he had three rushes of about 18 yards on that drive, and, boy, you just wish he had been as effective with the arm as he was with the legs on that drive in the entire game.
All right, that's our Hooters drive of the game brought to you by Hooters. Make Hooters your headquarters for all the football action. Hooters, four Jacksonville locations. Loggy, thanks so much. See you tomorrow night on Jaguars All Access at 7 o'clock on CBS 47. Time for the Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Smooth Bush Beer and Easy Drinking Bush Light. Head for the mountains of Bush. And our Bud Play of the Game is not what you might expect. It wasn't the touchdown or the field goal or one of the interceptions. It was a sack that Derek Harvey had. Jaguars were down 14-7, and the Dolphins were driving down the field on them, and they had the ball first down and 10 at the 20-yard line. Had a penalty that took them back, made up part of the distance, but when they lined up on third down, Derek Harvey came up with a sack that allowed the Jaguars to get the ball back, go down the field, and get a field goal out of it. So that's our Bud play of the game. It's second and 11 there at the Jaguars 22. Offset eye. Hilliard is the tailback now. And he slides the wide receiver in motion, drops straight back to throw. He's under a bit of pressure. Hit! Sack! Derek Harvey got it back at the 29. Ran right around Vernon Carey. Jaguars then were able to get the ball back after the missed field goal and take it down the field, get a field goal of their own. And at that point, the Jaguars had all the momentum, all of it. The defense kept giving the Jaguars offense opportunities. They just couldn't fire today. They just did not have their C game, let alone their A or B game. It was a tough day. 6-3 and outs. They had a 4 and out. They had a 1 and out. It was a tough day for the Jaguars offense. And so the result ends up to be a tough day for the Jaguars and their fans. 14-10 the final score. Jaguars fall to 7-6 and fall behind the Dolphins in the race for a wild card spot. Three games to play. They've got Thursday night against the Colts, then a week, 2 weeks from today, against the New England Patriots, and then finish on January 3rd in Cleveland. Playoffs, still very much an option. You don't know what happens with the Dolphins or the Broncos or whoever else competing with the Jaguars at this point. But, man, they got a tough road to hoe with the undefeated 13-0 New England, Indianapolis Colts here on Thursday, and the 8-5 New England Patriots still in front of them. But we'll leave that for another day. For now, we're going to pass it back to Sam and DeMarco for more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show, then the scoreboard show where they'll take your calls, questions, and comments. Final score, final time, 14-10. Dolphins win it. Jaguars are 7-6. I'd like to thank the folks at CopyFax, in particular Jason DeFore, who so expertly prints our game charts every week. CopyFax, the exclusive and only provider ever of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars. TJ Strite, my spotter today. Of course, Scott Kushner, who pushes all the right buttons. And Jaguars football on radio is produced by Joe Fortunato. Thanks, Joe. We'll take a break. More to come after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan, Marco Coleman here in Jaguars Central. Dolphins beat the Jaguars 14-10. You've now got four teams at 7-6 besides the Dolphins and Jags. The Ravens and Jets both win today. They go to 7-6. But the important thing here, Marco, is that the Dolphins now get this tiebreaker, the head-to-head.
I mean, all they have to do is win. I mean, you don't want to get in a position to where you're every weekend you're watching and anticipating another team to lose. That's not the way to go about it. As we went into this game, you had fate in your own hands. You can control your own destiny. And when you came out in the second half, you had those opportunities. The turnovers that the defense created opportunities for the Jaguars to take control of this game, and they weren't able to do it today at all.
And now you need help. You need the Dolphins to lose their final three games next week at Tennessee, and then home for Houston, and then home for Pittsburgh. How do those three games strike you as far as the Dolphins getting lost?
I mean, like I said, I anticipated them being 9-7 when we talked about it in the very beginning of the season. But as things started to pan out, I thought it was more realistic to say 10-6. But now, I mean, it's very questionable because the way this team it fits and starts. The way they look good, then they look bad. Where they show up, and then they don't show up. I mean, it's not just the players. You have to look at the coaches, too. Maurice Jones-Drew was one of the best running backs in the league. But you can't just continuously say, okay, we're just going to run Maurice Jones-Drew up the middle every time. It's got to be more creative in the way that you have him to run the ball. You see the way that the Miami Dolphins did it with Ricky Williams. They ran into the perimeter. I mean, even with Jarrion Henderson out, they didn't just try to run him straight down the gut. They got him on the perimeter. They got him out. I mean, they just did so many different things to open up avenues, ways for him to make a good decision as a good running back to get those 4 or 5 yard pops on a consistent basis, which the Jaguars are not consistent in developing creativity to get Maurice Jones-Drew in the best possible position to make a play.
He was averaging 3.3 per carry today, well below his average, 18 carries, 59 yards. So normally you really want that between 20 and 25 carries, but still at 18, that's kind of close, and there wasn't really anything there. But you're now saying maybe play calling, offensive play calling.
I really think it's the play calling. During the whole course of the season, it's been very inconsistent. One game you just have all these different creative, you know, wide receiver screens, the tight end screens. In the next game, there's nothing. You just got regular dive plays. I mean, that's too easy. That is, in the NFL, that is completely too easy for teams to stop. And Maurice Jones-Drew, you have to give – everyone is trying to stop him. He is the vocal point of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you want to allow him the best opportunity to take your team where it needs to go, you need to put him in the best possible positions. And it's not just running up the middle each and every time he gets the ball.
Well, we may be able to ask Maurice those questions. We're expecting, hoping him to come in a few minutes. So we'll take a break here. Winn-Dixie has everything you need for holiday entertaining. Check out their fully cooked turkey and ham dinners. Winn-Dixie, fresh checked every day. Jaguars lose this one 14-10 to the Dolphins. We'll come back with more on Jaguars Radio. Here's your chance to win $100,000 when the Jaguars take on the Colts at Jacksonville Municipal Stadium on December 17th. That's this Thursday. Stop by a local area Tire Kingdom for full details and enter for the opportunity to throw for dough. Let's get you caught up on the other scores now in the NFL today. The 1 o'clock games are all done. Another team competing with the Jags for the AFC wildcard spot. The Jets easily took care of the Buccaneers 26-3. They had Kellen Clemens in at quarterback over the injured Mark Sanchez. Colts have now set that NFL record with 22 straight regular season wins. They beat the Broncos 28-16. Peyton Manning hit Dallas Clark twice for touchdown passes. So I guess that's good that the Colts get the win today. They get this record. They lock up home field. They come in, and maybe they only play Peyton Manning and those guys for a half.
Man, that the Jaguars hope so at this
point.
They do
hope so,
you know,
yes.
The way they've, you know, because for one, they can't stop anyone from completing, none of these quarterbacks from completing passes. And you're talking about Peyton Manning. He'll come in here and complete almost 100%.
The Ravens hammered the Lions 48-3 today. Derek Mason with a 62-yard touchdown catch. Ray Rice rushed for 166 yards. Baltimore now 7-6. That battle of the division leaders in Minnesota, the Vikings poured it on in the second half. They beat the Bengals 30-10. That game in Minnesota. The Texans blasted the Seahawks today 34-7. Andre Johnson, a big day, 11 catches, 193 yards. Matt Schaub, 29 of 39, 365 yards. New England goes to 8-5. They're the leaders in the AFC East after beating Carolina 20-10. Packers over the Bears 21-14. Ryan Grant 137 yards rushing along with a 62-yard touchdown run. The Saints stay unbeaten. They win their franchise record 13th game. They're 13-0. They get the first round bye, but again, they barely squeak by a lesser team. The undermanned Falcons today, 26-23. Do you still like Drew Brees for MVP?
I still like Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a beast, man. I mean, all these games are close. So teams that play New Orleans, they don't want a close game. They do not want a close game against the New Orleans Saints.
Seems like they're starting to figure out the offense. So defenses are starting to figure out what the Saints do a little bit.
But they still can't stop them. They're still finding ways to win. That's the markings of a great team, finding ways to win regardless.
And Buffalo beat Kansas City 16-10. We've got three games going on right now. Washington and Oakland are scoreless. This is a big game. San Diego at Dallas right now. The Cowboys up 3-0. And St. Louis and Tennessee, that game is scoreless. Sunday night football tonight, it's the Eagles at the Giants. Tomorrow night, it's Arizona at San Francisco. And Jaguars fans, vote for your teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show coming up next on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of the Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union, a job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. And Jaguars lose this one 14-10 to the Dolphins. And, Marco, you're still stewing. You're stewing over there about the offensive play calling.
I'm hot, man, because, you know, just offensively, you have too many weapons to just continuously do the same things each and every week. You know, you heard the comment. I'm not exactly sure who it was that the Lagerman was actually interviewing. But week after week, you hear the same thing that defensively, our defense is saying that we saw something that we didn't, that, you know, they hadn't seen.
Yeah.
But for us, every time I watch a Jaguars game, there hasn't been anything on a consistent basis that has been different that we haven't seen offensively. And I'm pretty sure defensively, too, because one thing that's been constant throughout the whole season is that quarterbacks have been able to complete a high percentage of passes versus our defense.
Let's get the letter grade for David Garrard from you today. He's 11 of 26 on the day. That's just 42%, 139 yards. He was sacked three times, no touchdowns, no interceptions, a 59.6 passer rating.
I mean, I actually don't think David did that bad. You know, you figure he can only do what the plays call for him to do. And I don't think that, you know, having him to throw the ball a whole lot is going to be the ingredient for them to win. It's got to be Maurice Jones-Drew, but in a creative way. I really think that they need to implement the Wildcat. Because, if you know, what they always bring in an extra lineman to run the ball a lot of time. I won't say all the time, but a lot of times with Maurice Jones-Drew, which as soon as you bring that lineman in, they're going to bring in another, either the other team is going to bring another defensive lineman or another linebacker, or they're just going to stack the box even more. And all they do is just run the ball right up the gut to where the meat of the defense is. That makes it tougher to run the ball. Why not spread them out so that now Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be facing a defensive back instead of a linebacker, and now he's going to be able to do it further beyond the line of scrimmage as opposed to right at the line of scrimmage. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
In the tailgate show, Vic Ketchman said it, and he says it a lot. It's players, not plays, that win. So do the Jaguars need to get creative on the offensive play calling because the offensive line just isn't there? We know Maurice Jones-Drew is great.
You can say what you want about Vic. I like Vic, but players and plays make the difference. This is the NFL. You got coaches getting paid millions of dollars just along with the players. So that means that they are entrusting into the coaches to put these high-priced players in the best possible position to make these big plays. But if you continuously just run Maurice Jones-Drew the same way you've been doing throughout the whole season, that's easy. Every player on the Miami Dolphins team watch film. And they've watched all the past 12 games, and they've seen all the tendencies. So they know what's going to happen when you line up a certain way. And if you don't break those tendencies, it's very easy to defend that. So coaching-wise, you got to be able to evaluate what is our tendency. What is easy for the defense to read? We got to do some opposite of that when we get this look in order to, you know, to put them off balance. But if you give them the same thing every time, that's easy. That's elementary football. It is players. True indeed, but there are also plays. That's why you got coaches. If it wasn't for the plays, then why you got a coach then?
How about defending the pass today? Is this another quarterback carving up the Jags? 21 of 29, Chad Henne, 72% completion rate. They only threw for 208 yards, but it seemed like there were a lot of easy completions that the Jaguars weren't getting.
I mean, that's been the whole deal all season long. I mean, every team that we played, quarterbacks have been able to just complete passes all up and down the field. This bend that don't break defense, you know, it works. These guys are very opportunistic. They did what they needed to do in the second half, keep them out of the end zone, create the turnovers. I really don't fault the defense in this loss at all.
Okay. All right, fans, visit your local Toyota dealer during Toyota's national clearance event. Toyota is moving forward. We'll take a break here and more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show coming up on Jaguars Radio. You're back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan, Marco Coleman here. Jaguars Central. Dolphins beat the Jaguars 14-10 to make both teams 7-6. But now the Dolphins have the head-to-head edge there in that race for the wild card spot. It's time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by Insurance Office of America. Marco, who was the protector of the game?
Is it possible to have like a Cole?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I think both of the bookends on offensive line, Evan Britton and Eugene Monroe, did a really good job. You had Jason Taylor and Joey Porter, quiet. And we didn't hear anything about those guys all game long. These two guys did a great job of keeping them protected on those ends. I have to say the two rookies, the two tackles as the protectors.
All right, there you go. I've got the attendance in front of me. I don't know if you've heard it, but if not, do you want to take a guess from what you saw out there?
80,000.
A little less than that. 60,457 tickets were distributed. And 57,444 through the turnstiles. This is a big improvement over last week.
Right, but the 60,000 actually lifts the blackout, doesn't it?
Well, no, it didn't today. No.
I guess not. Then. No. I guess not.
But 57,000 showed up. How many Dolphins fans were in that 57,000?
It was quite a few. I actually went up and, you know, sat with my daughter, and everyone around, it seemed like around the seats that we had, were all Dolphin fans when I went up with my wife.
They weren't very loud, though. I didn't hear them.
Well, when I went down, you know, it was a drive, but we had gotten a turnover right there before the end of the half, so they were sitting on their hands at that point.
Yeah. And how about halftime? You left me at halftime to go watch your daughter in the Junior Roar.
That was exciting, man. I mean, my baby, man, let me tell you, she was grooving out there.
What songs? What songs were they dancing to?
I don't know, man, but she was on the beat, enthusiastic, having a great time. You know, I think that is, I mean, all those little girls, they were smiling and they were having a good time. That is really good. I hope that, you know, well, it's just their second time doing it. You know, I hope they continue to do it. That was a good deal, big deal. You know, a lot of girls, they like they were all having fun.
Here's some of the stats from the game. Total yardage, which was totally lopsided at halftime, but the Jaguars kind of turned that around still. Excuse me. The Dolphins with 354 total yards. Jags with 217. Passing-wise.
Are you okay?
That's a halftime brownie in there. Still lingering.
Lisa, got to give big ups to Lisa on the brownies and the cookies, man. She's real with that.
Dolphins had 208 passing yards. Jaguars just 122 on the ground. The Dolphins with 146. Jags just 95 rushing yards. Time of possession was big, although it closed. The gap closed a little bit in the second half, but still, Miami held on to the ball for 35 minutes. The Jaguars 25 minutes. The old third down conversions, we've been talking about those a lot this year with the Jaguars. Jacksonville just 3 of 14, that's 21%. Miami, 8 of 15, 53%. Oh, Marco, let me get your take on those fourth down calls where Jack Del Rio went for it on the fourth and one. They got it there. They did not get it on the fourth and three. But what about that fourth and one? MJD gets the sweep.
I mean, it didn't make sense. I mean, you figured they were – it was another one of those calls that if you get it, it's a great call.
Right.
But I would have to honestly say, you know, backed up in there, you know, in the other team's area,
yep.
That
35.
Wasn't a – I don't think that was a really good call. I think you go ahead, punt it, and live to fight another day. I question that one. That's one that I have to say, okay, you did get it, but not a great idea.
All right, Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show coming up next on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan, Marco Coleman here, Jaguars Central. Dolphins beat the Jaguars 14-10. And it's time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. Let's look back at the highlights of this one. After Jacksonville was stuck above the field on a wire before the game started. Yeah, you didn't hear about that, Marco, huh?
Didn't hear about it.
Oh, yeah, he didn't really make it down right away.
Oh, my boy.
But he's okay. I think he's okay. The Dolphins received the ball. Montel Owens delivered a real punishing hit on Ted Ginn Jr. to start things off on the kickoff. Looked kind of good there. Miami got to the 50-yard line before punting. The Jags went 3-and-out on their first drive. They would do that a lot today. Miami's next drive featured two Ricky Williams fumbles, but both went out of bounds before the Jags could get to it, and it kept the Dolphins' drive alive. And the running game was impressively consistent. Ricky Williams then capped it off.
Three tight ends. One of them is in motion. Here's the handoff to Williams over the left side. He just walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
The theme of the first half really was ball control. Dolphins just hogging it up. Halfway through the second quarter now, they'd string together another long drive that ended with this.
Offset eye and too tight. Henny, play action, rolling out right, looking for his tight end. He's going to run it in. Untouched, just as Ricky Williams was. And it's 13-0, folks.
And the extra point made it 14-0 Jaguars. The Jags finally putting something together on their third drive of the game. A pass interference penalty on the Dolphins made it first and goal at the Miami 1. Maurice Jones-Drew, though, stopped on his first run. Then an incomplete pass to Mercedes Lewis. He's starting to get a little nervous. Finally, though, number 32 finds success.
David barks out his signals. Takes the ball, hands it off. Drew powers his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Number 14, and that ties Fred Taylor for the Jaguars' single-season record for rushing touchdowns in a season.
And that made it 14-7 Dolphins. Late in the second quarter now, Miami on the move again, but then yet another Dolphins fumble that was about to go out of bounds. This time the Jags get it, recovered by Anthony Smith, but the Jags could not score off that turnover. The first half ended 14-7 Dolphins on top of the Jags. Halfway through the third now, the Dolphins get to the Jags, into Jags territory, but Dan Carpenter's 38-yard field goal attempt hits the right goalpost. That keeps it 14-7 Miami. The Jags' next drive boosted by a huge pass play from Garrard to the potential Hall of Fame receiver.
Vikings stack the line of scrimmage. Here comes a three-man rush. David Whitfine steps to avoid pressure. Launches the ball. He's got a man down the field. This one's going to be caught! And there goes Torrey Holt to the 20, to the 15, and down to the 10! What a huge conversion!
So it got to the Miami 11, actually, but a delay of game penalty backed them up to the 16, and eventually Jags settled for a 25-yard field goal to make it 14-10 Miami. Late in the third now, a third Ricky Williams fumble finds its way into the Jaguars' hands, but nothing came out of that turnover. Another three and out followed the takeaway. Bold move later by Jack Del Rio with 11 minutes left in the game. He goes for it on fourth and one at their own 35. Maurice Jones-Drew gets the first down, a toss sweep to the right. Then they have it fourth and three at the Dolphins 45, but a little short slant pass from Garrard to Mike Sims-Walker is broken up. So a turnover on downs, 7:57 to play, but they would get the ball right back.
And Henny is back to throw with time, looking down the field, fires it underneath, and it is caught, intercepted! Derek Cox has got it! He's at the 45, looking for a block, and he's going down, lost the ball. Terrence Knighton pounces on it.
But once again, no points off a turnover as they're forced to punt. They would stop the Dolphins, though, and get the ball back. 3 minutes, 30 left. It finally comes down to a crucial fourth down play, fourth and two at the Miami 46.
Fourth down and two with the 46 of Miami. David takes the snap, and he's going to run for it, and he's going to get caught. He was caught. Randy Stark smelled it out, and the Dolphins are going to win.
And they would win the game 14-10. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll take a break here, come back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show on Jaguars Radio. And you're back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan, Marco Coleman. This portion is brought to you by North Florida's labor union, a job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. And we're joined now by defensive end Quinton Groves. And Quinton, a tough loss there. How good was that offensive line today? We heard they were going to be great, but you tell me, how good were they?
Well, they were pretty solid. Big guys. And that's how their team is built to run the ball. And that's pretty much what we knew what they were, and that's how they were. They were pretty good.
Well, today, man, turnovers, yeah. You know, which has been the whole season. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you knew going into this game, you guys led the league in the amount of fumbles that you caused and recover. I mean, you know, very opportunistic. Mm-hmm. Now, is that something that you guys work on, you know, is a big emphasis in practice? Yeah. And if so, what type of things you guys do with that?
Well, we have on Thursdays, we have a drill called a turnover circuit, which sack, force fumbles, playing the cut block, scooping and scoring. And then we also have another drill, secure the tackle and punch it out. And it's just a test to our hustle. I mean, a lot of the fumbles that we get is just from second and third guys running to the ball. First guy misses them, and then the second and third guy run to the ball and punch it out.
Yeah, defensively, the effort, you know, is definitely unquestionable. You guys definitely mm-hmm. hustle around. Like I said, it shows in the turnovers that you guys are able to get.
Two sacks today as a team. That's an improvement. What kind of things are you guys working on to improve the pass rush? I mean, last in the NFL in sacks coming into today, and you know, I'm sure you're aware of that, but what kind of things are going on behind the scenes during the week, coaching moves? I mean, what are the answers there?
Well, I think Coach Del Rio just told us to go, because me as a D line, I think we were thinking about too many rushes, thinking, okay, we got to get to the quarterback, and that wasn't the case. If you get a pressure or you knock him off the spot to make a reset his feet, then he can't step into that throw. Then it alters him as well. So we just didn't focus on, okay, we have to get sacks. We just get to the, we have to just knock him off the spot or cause a tip ball or things like that get quarterbacks frustrated.
Well, shoot, man, I mean, yourself personally, very vital to what's going on with the team. I mean, you contribute as a defensive end, as a linebacker, on special teams. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your preparation, because you have so many aspects of the game that you have to have yourself aware of.
Well, my the way I prepare for a game is on Mondays I watch my special teams film. Mm-hmm. Mondays and Tuesdays I watch special teams film with an hour and a half of offense, of their offense, the opposing offense, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is all offense. I don't focus on any special teams. I do all offense on those days. And then Saturday is my probably 30 minutes of teams and then an hour and a half of offense. So,
But now with being a linebacker, you know, playing at the linebacker position and going in at the defensive line, how do you, I guess, split up the time to focus, I guess, on the offensive tackles and get a beat on them, and also the different routes that these guys may run?
It's pretty challenging, but I have a great coach and Coach Underland, who helps me out a lot. Coach Montecchino, he helps me out a lot with the defensive line stuff, as well as preparing for the tackle that I'm going to face. So without those guys, I promise you I wouldn't be ready.
Right. You've been doing a good job.
Thank you.
Have you broke the news to the Twitter world yet about this loss?
Nah, I actually,
Quentin's a big guy.
Quentin's
Twitter.
A big Twitter.
Oh, Twitter guy. He's a Twitter.
I was a big Twitterer, man. But I think
cooling off a little.
Yeah, I had to because like I said, it was taken away from my film study and my preparation for the game, and it was showing. Right. Not so much in the games, but in practice. And once I said, okay, I'll focus on Twitter later after the season, and I'll concentrate on football now, my play started to pick up.
So. I mean, you know, you just, you know, helped me out with – I think Twitter's a big distraction for a lot of people, not just football players, just people in general. I mean, if you can't call nobody and talk to them, what you going to do?
It's a great communication tool.
Are you kidding?
We got to communicate. We got an age gap.
I guess because it's an age gap.
Yeah, it's a little
– you know what I'm saying? My second year was 94. I guess –
He's got gray hairs in that beard, Quentin. Don't listen to him. All right, tough loss today, but appreciate you coming in anyway. Thanks.
No problem. Appreciate you guys.
Just keep on hustling. I mean, I think you've been you have a really good year this season. Stay healthy, my man.
We'll do.
Quentin Groves, fans. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show coming up next on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan, Marco Coleman. Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game, Marco. Coverage of the game, Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Who are you giving that to?
I got to go with my man Derek Cox. Once again,
you know,
big play, just covering people all over the field. Always, he's like Johnny on the spot. This guy always ends up with the ball. He's been real good at getting the turnovers.
And the guests continue the All-Star Hit Parade now. Maurice Jones-Drew coming into Jaguar Central here. Maurice, thanks for coming by.
Thank you guys for having me.
Congrats on your 14th rushing touchdown of the year, tying Fred Taylor's franchise single-season record. But I'm sure you would have, you know, loved to have had a victory to go along with it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's kind of a bittersweet feeling. Obviously, Fred being a mentor of mine, being able to do something that he's done before is awesome. But at the same time, you know, we only scored 10 points, you know, and that's something that as an offensive player, you know, you always want to be up in the 20s, 30s. So we have a lot to work with.
Well, I don't want to get – I mean, I know that's definitely the game was not the way we wanted it to come out, but at the same time, you're like a magnet to the end zone. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's something that you directly focus on, but can you tell us a little bit about how is it that you've been able to find the end zone so frequently this season?
You know, I don't know. The O-line's been doing a great job, obviously, blocking. Greg Jones doing a wonderful job just going and knocking guys out of the way. Our coaches, they do a great job. Running back coach Polo does a great job of teaching fits and how people are going to line up so we understand where they're going to be. And, you know, when we get kind of in there, the O-line get all amped up because they love to see the dances. So I think the dances have a big part of it, you know. They have a big part of those end zone getting in because it's funny. They always say, you're going to do the one with the drop and the spin? Or, you know, which one are you going to blow the kisses this time? Are you going to pull the rabbit out the hat? And whatever you guys want.
And that's one of the things I say on the radio all the time is that, I mean, we got to get to see this guy dancing, you know what I mean? I'm saying dancing all the time.
How you feeling physically? We know you've been, you know, missing some practices of late, the early week ones, and then now this is, what, 4 games in a row, under 100 yards. There's a little bit of talk about you possibly wearing down. This is the first year as the feature back. How you feeling out there?
I'm feeling fine. I'm glad everybody's starting to talk about wearing down. The thing just about Wednesdays is getting late in the year. A lot of guys are starting to rest, you know, it's not about what you do during practice, and you want to prepare well, but it's about being healthy for the games. And so Costa Rio is a big guy for that, and so he wants us to rest and be ready to play on Sunday. As long as we had our best on Sunday, it doesn't matter. And so it's his idea, and then the trainers, and obviously I have my input on it too, to kind of, you know, not be so full go, be able to rest your legs a little bit and be able to come down on the games. Defense are doing you know, a lot to try to stop our running game, regardless of if I'm back there, Greg Jones, Rashad Jennings. They're doing a lot to try to stop us. So we're still able to run the ball well. I mean, as long as you're averaging 4 or 5 yards a carry, you know, that's a positive thing. And obviously a lot of people want to see the 100-yard games and the long touchdowns. And, you know, teams are doing their best to stop that, you know, because that's what we are, an explosive offense, and that's what we do. So they're doing their best to try to stop us.
Well, you know, all that rest is great for you. I mean, I think that we even talk about it in the pregame how I understand it. You know, you need to keep your primary asset ready to go as much as possible. But if you're not using it, you know what I mean? What difference does it make if you rest them? Because my thing is I've been ranting all season long about getting you the ball 20 to 25 games, 20 to 25 times on carries. not just passes, but carries a game, you know, all season long. And that hasn't been the case. And I think you can go back to each and every loss and see that, you know, if you don't get 20-plus carries, it's been a loss. Now, I mean, I know it's probably tough for you to give a, you know, be really, I guess, critical of the offensive coordinator, but what would you consider the right amount of carries in your thoughts to get you in the best possible position to be successful?
I really don't. I just think that we just have to be more consistent in the run game more than anything. You know, it's obviously it's tough to go, you know, first down, get a 2-yard gain, and then run again. But those runs, those 2nd-and-8 runs, those 2nd-and-9 runs, those are helping us in the fourth quarter when we need it the most, you know, because we're wearing down on the defense. And I just, like I said, we just got to be more consistent, more patient. It happens. Teams are doing their best to stop our run game. And they're really not. We were averaging, I think, 4 yards a carry. We were breaking long runs. It's just, you know, sometimes a guy might fall and a guy might be free. And we just got to be more patient at the end of the day.
Wildcat. Throw you can direct snap to you to spread out. Because one of the things that they do a lot is bring in the offensive linemen, which automatically tells the defense, okay, stack the box. These guys are coming at us. Why not spread everyone out and allow you now the opportunities, you know, take a couple people out of the box by spreading out and running the ball?
That's not who we are, you know, and that's one thing I respect about this organization is we are who we're going to be. You know, we're going to beat you. We're going to beat you up. That's what our thing is. And so we're going to bring another offensive lineman in. We're going to have Mercedes there blocking Greg Jones. And we're going to use our big, tough offensive lineman to maul you. And that's what we are. And that's our mindset. I don't want to change that. You know, I don't want to ever change that because being aggressive, being tough, you know, that's what kind of sport this is. It's not one of those. A lot of people like to see the passes. And those are great. Don't get me wrong. But we're a physical team. We're a big physical team. Our defense is big and physical. Our special teams, we have guys that run are going to hit you. And our offensive line, as you see them, they're all 330 pounds or bigger. So that's what we are. And that's who we're going to be, you know, and that's what we have to understand.
Is Quinn Clay going to take out his frustrations on Call of Duty later?
Quinn Clay's done he's been a serial killer lately. You know?
Oh,
I think they put him down for a little bit.
No
explain that to Marco, who we're talking about here.
Oh, okay. Well, on Call of Duty, the little war game, a lot of people like to befriend Quinn Clay. That's who I am. That's my stage name, I guess you want to call it.
His alias.
Yeah, my
on
alias.
On Xbox Live.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been doing a little bit of damage, you know, so a lot of people have been trying to challenge. The Humble Yourself crew, that's us. That's the Jaguars. We like to humble a lot of these so-called gamers out there.
Right.
And so, you're right. I have to get on there. I do have a little bit frustration just from the loss, though. Nothing really more than that. You know, this is a game that we needed to win and to come up short as an offense. Our defense played lights out, you know. Besides the first two series, those guys were doing everything they could, and you know, getting turnovers, hustling to the ball. And as an offense, we had too many opportunities not to take advantage of it. So that's the only frustrating part. And I think seeing a lot of guys talking to a lot of guys after the game, they felt the same way. So I know a bunch of them probably would be online or doing something, you know, to kind of get this taste out of their mouth.
Well, it's a quick turnaround. You got the game Thursday. Maurice, appreciate you coming in right now and spending a few minutes with us.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
That's Maurice Jones-Drew, and that's going to do it for the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Appreciate you listening. Right now, the scoreboard show is next, so give us a call. Let's talk about this 14-10 Jaguars loss. The number 355-6351, 1-800-6351 is the number to call. Stick around.